This is a subject that I've been talking about, speaking on for quite some time. Because since the time of Christ, there hadn't been a year of Jubilee for who knows how long. But there was just one a couple of years ago, on January 15th, 2012. Jubilee was born. And when Doug and Lydia named Jubilee, that I stopped and thought about it. It was a name that I don't think I ever would have thought to use, but I just loved it from the first time I heard it, because in the name of Jubilee, you capture the entire life of Christ, His death and His resurrection, through the pictures of the Old Testament. And when Christ applies that to Himself and says, "This day are these things fulfilled in your ears," speaking of Himself. So we've got to go all the way back to the beginning of this story when Israel left Egypt. And just think about the bondage they were in, night and day, toiling and laboring for someone else. All the profits of their labors were not their own. And that's really what slavery is. When you are laboring and toiling and working and don't get to reap any of the benefits from your work. And then, of course, God sends Moses, and God uses Moses, and He brings them out free. Just throw yourself into that situation and imagine the emotions and the feelings, the songs of joy in every one of those hearts as they walked free from Egypt. And then we come to where God writes His laws for the children of Israel. And He brings up that point over and over again. Multiple times through the Old Testament we see God tells the children of Israel to do this. And He says, "Remember, you were once servants. Remember, you were once in bondage." He brings that back and He brings that back. And He always is reminding them, "You were once in bondage to the Egyptians." And one of the things, one of His laws, was what He called the year of release. We find it in Deuteronomy 15. I'm going to turn there because I want to read a pretty lengthy passage. I'm going to read from verse 1 all the way through verse 18 in Deuteronomy chapter 15. "At the end of every 7 years, thou shalt make a release. And this is the manner of the release. Every creditor that lendeth aught unto his neighbor shall release it. He shall not exact it of his neighbor or of his brother, because it is called the Lord's release. Of a foreigner thou mayest exact it again. But that which is thine with thy brother, thine hand shall release. Save when there shall be no poor among you, for the Lord shall greatly bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance to possess it. Only if thou carefully hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe to do all these commandments which I command thee this day. For the Lord thy God blesseth thee as He promised thee. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, but thou shalt not borrow. And thou shalt reign over many nations, but they shall not reign over thee. If there be among you a poor man of one of thy brethren within any of the gates in thy land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not harden thine heart nor shut thine hand from thy poor brother. But thou shalt open thine hand wide unto him, and shalt surely lend him sufficient for his need in that which he wanteth. Be aware that there be not a thought in thy wicked heart, saying, 'The seventh year, the year of release, is at hand.' And thine eye be evil against thy poor brother, and thou givest him not, and he cry unto the Lord against thee, and it be sin unto thee. Thou shalt surely give him, and thine heart shall not be grieved when thou givest unto him, because that for this thing the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all thy works, and in all that thou puttest thy hand unto. For the poor shall never cease out of the land. Therefore I command thee, saying, Thou shalt open thine hand wide unto thy brother, to thy poor and to thy needy in thy land. And if thy brother, an Hebrew man or an Hebrew woman, be sold unto thee and serve thee 6 years, then in the seventh year thou shalt let him go free from thee. And when thou sendest him out free from thee, thou shalt not let him go away empty. Thou shalt furnish him liberally out of thy flock and out of thy floor and out of the winepress of that wherewith the Lord thy God hath blessed thee, thou shalt give unto him. And thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee. Therefore I command thee this thing today. And it shall be, if he say unto thee, I will not go away from thee, because he loveth thee, and thine house, because he is well with thee. Then thou shalt take an awl, and thrust it through his ear into the door, and he shall be thy servant forever. And also unto thy maidservant thou shalt do likewise. It shall not seem hard unto thee when thou sendest him away free from thee, for he hath been worth a double hired servant to thee in serving thee 6 years. And the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all that thou doest. From verses 1 through 11, we first have the command that in the year of release, every debt is canceled. And then he goes on for the next few verses explaining a little bit of how the workings of this will work. And then we come to verse 12. In the year of release, every slave is set free. And he goes into some more of the details and workings of that through the next few verses. But those are the two main points. Every debt is canceled, and every slave is set free. Now, just an interesting fact that I want to bring into this. Remember when the children of Israel went off to captivity? What did God say? He said they were going to be there for 70 years that the land may keep its Sabbaths. One other thing that we see in this year of release that we don't find in this passage, but we'll find in the next passage that I'll get to shortly, is that you weren't allowed to farm. You weren't allowed to plant your seed. You weren't allowed to till the ground. You weren't allowed to prune your grapes. Just let it sit. Well, the children of Israel didn't keep those. For that would be 490 years. So God put them in a far country to let the land sit for those 70 years to make up. The land could have its Sabbaths. And I have a number of other passages here that I want to read from this paper, just shorter verses. In Exodus 21, verse 2, we read, If thou buy an Hebrew servant, 6 years he shall serve thee, and in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. If he came by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master gave him a wife, and she have borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master's, and he shall go out by himself. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free. Then his master shall bring him unto the judges. He shall also bring him to the door, to the doorpost. His master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. And if a man sell his daughter to be a maidservant, she shall not go out as the men servants do. Of course, the Bible, through some of these, it's a little unclear in this passage, but it draws a distinction between a maidservant and a woman that is a servant. A maidservant was more like a concubine, is what this is speaking of. Because in other places it tells us that the maidservants do go out. In Exodus 23:10 we read, And 6 years thou shalt sow thy land, and shalt gather in the fruits thereof. But the seventh year thou shalt let it rest and lie still, that the poor of thy people may eat, and what they leave the beasts of the field shall eat. In like manner thou shalt deal with thy vineyard and with thy olive yard. Deuteronomy 31:10. And Moses commanded them, saying, At the end of every 7 years, in the solemnity of the year of release, in the Feast of Tabernacles, when all Israel is come to appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, thou shalt read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Gather the people together, men and women and children, and thy stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear and that they may learn, and fear the Lord your God, and observe to do all the words of this law, and that their children which have not known anything, may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land, whither you go over Jordan to possess it. The year of release. Something I've seen a number of people do is confuse the year of release with the year of Jubilee. The year of release, as I've just been talking, happened once every 7 years. The year of Jubilee was, depending on what the way you counted it, 49 years or 50 years. And the Bible actually uses both. It says 49 and 50 because it's the, what is that? The 50th year? Or the, anyway, you get the idea. Every 49 years or the 50th year, that's the way I want to say it. Every piece of land that was sold went back to its original owner. And something else that it isn't really clear, but when you read the passages, you get the idea that if a man came into slavery with a wife in the year of release, as we just read, they both went out free. But if he got married while he was a slave, he went out free and his wife and children had to stay. But you get the idea that that was different in the year of Jubilee from a couple verses because it doesn't give that clause. It just simply says he shall go out and his wife and children. So there's another large passage that I want to do that's got even more detail. I'm going to turn to Leviticus chapter 25. I have a lot of scripture and a lot of just rambling, talking a little bit randomly. So I hope you'll bear with me as I go through all of this. Generally, when I preach, I think of Paul. He says, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. Paul's saying, you know, there is an enemy. I detect him and I hit him. I don't just swing my arms. And I like to try to take that into my preaching. And I think I need to be addressing an issue, an idea, a false doctrine, a false concept, a wrong lifestyle, and hit it head on. But I'll be honest, I'm not doing that this morning. I'm just talking about this subject. And I just want to paint a little bit of a picture of Christ as our Jubilee. Because every single thing in the Old Testament, every feast, every law, every sacrifice, was a picture of Christ. The whole thing is a schoolmaster to tell us about Christ. So, I hope you don't find it too boring, but we're going to just look at this picture, and I'm going to endeavor to paint it as clear as I possibly can. In Deuteronomy chapter 25, Leviticus, Leviticus 25. This gives us even more details in the last passage. Starting in the very beginning, and I'm going to read through this whole chapter in several sections. And the Lord spake unto Moses in Mount Sinai, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when ye come into the land which I give you, then shall the land keep a Sabbath unto the Lord. 6 years thou shalt sow thy field, and 6 years thou shalt prune thy vineyard, and gather in the fruit thereof. But in the seventh year shall be a Sabbath of rest unto the land. A Sabbath for the Lord. Thou shalt neither sow thy field nor prune thy vineyard. That which groweth of its own accord of thy harvest, thou shalt not reap, neither gather the grapes of thy vine undressed, for it is a year of rest unto the land. And the Sabbath of the land shall be for meat for you, for thee, and for thy servant, and for thy maid, and for thy hired servant, and for the stranger that sojourneth with thee. And for thy cattle, and for the beasts, and for the beast that are in thy land, shall all the increase thereof be meat. And thou shalt number 7 Sabbaths of years unto thee, 7 times 7 years, and the space of the 7 Sabbaths of years shall be unto thee 49 years. Then shalt thou cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound in the 10th day of the 7th month, in the day of atonement shall ye make the trumpet sound throughout all your land. And ye shall hallow the 50th year, and proclaim liberty throughout all the land, and unto all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubilee unto you, and ye shall return every man unto his possession, and ye shall return every man unto his family. A jubilee shall that 50th year be unto you. Ye shall not sow, neither reap that which groweth of itself in it, nor gather thy grapes in it, for thy vine undressed. For it is the jubilee, it shall be holy unto you. Ye shall eat the increase thereof out of the field. In the year of this jubilee, ye shall return every man unto his possession. And if thou sell aught of thy unto thy neighbor, or buyest aught of thy neighbor's hand, ye shall not oppress one another. According to the number of years after the jubilee, thou shalt buy of thy neighbor, and according unto the number of years of the fruits, he shall sell unto thee. According to the multitude of years, thou shalt increase the price thereof, and according to the fewness of the years, thou shalt diminish the price of it. For according to the number of the years of the fruits doth he sell unto thee. Ye shall not therefore oppress one another, but thou shalt fear thy God, for I am the Lord your God. Wherefore ye shall do my statutes, and keep my judgments, and do them, and ye shall dwell in the land in safety. And the land shall yield her fruit, and ye shall eat your fill, and dwell therein in safety. And ye shall say, what shall we eat the seventh year? Behold, we shall not sow nor gather in your increase. Then I will command my blessing upon you in the sixth year, and it shall bring forth fruit for 3 years. And ye shall sow the eighth year, and eat yet the old fruit until the ninth year. Until her fruits come in, ye shall eat of the old store. The land shall not be sold forever, for the land is mine, and ye are strangers and sojourners with me. And in all the land of your possession ye shall grant a redemption for the land. If thy brother be waxen poor, and hath sold away some of his possession, and if any of his kin come to redeem it, then shall he redeem that which his brother sold. And if any man have none to redeem it, and himself be able to redeem it, then let him count the years of the sale thereof, and restore the overplus unto the man to whom he sold it, that he may return unto his possession. And if he be not able to restore it unto him, then that which is sold shall remain in the hand of him that bought it until the year of Jubilee. And in the Jubilee it shall go out, and he shall return unto his possession. And if a man sell a dwelling house in a walled city, then he may redeem it within a whole year after it is sold. Within a full year may he redeem it. And if it be not redeemed within the space of a year, then the house that is in the walled city shall be established forever to him that bought it throughout his generations. It shall not go out in the Jubilee. But the houses of the villages which have no walls round about them shall be counted as the fields of the country. They may be redeemed, and they shall go out in the Jubilee. Notwithstanding the cities of the Levites and the houses of the cities of their possessions, may the Levites redeem at any time. And if a man purchase of the Levites, when the house that was sold and the city of his possession shall go out in the year of Jubilee, for the houses of the cities of the Levites are their possession among the children of Israel. But the field of the suburbs of their cities may not be sold, for it is their perpetual possession. And if thy brother be waxen poor and fallen in decay with thee, then thou shalt receive him, yea, though he be a stranger or a sojourner, that he may live with thee. And take no usury of him, or increase, but fear thy God, that thy brother may live with thee. Thou shalt not give him thy money upon usury, nor lend him thy victuals for increase. I am the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, to give you the land of Canaan, and to be your God. And if thy brother that dwelleth by thee be waxen poor, and be sold unto thee, thou shalt not compel him to serve as a bondservant, but as an hired servant, and as a sojourner. He shall be with thee, and shall serve thee unto the year of Jubilee. And then shall he depart from thee, both he and his children with him, and shall return unto his family, and unto the possession of his fathers shall he return. For they are my servants, which I brought forth out of the land of Egypt. They shall not be sold as bondmen. Thou shalt not rule over them with rigor, but shalt fear thy God. Both thy bondmen and thy bondmaids, which thou shalt have, shall be of the heathen that are round about you. Of them shall ye buy bondmen and bondmaids. Moreover, of the children of the strangers that sojourn among you, of them shall ye buy, and of their families that are with you, which they beget of your land, and they shall be your possession. And ye shall take them as an inheritance for your children after you, to inherit them for a possession. They shall be your bondmen forever. But over your brethren, the children of Israel, you shall not rule one over another with rigor. And if a sojourner or stranger wax rich by thee, and thy brother that dwelleth by him wax poor, and sell himself unto the stranger or sojourner by thee, or to the stock of the stranger's family, after that he is sold, he may be redeemed again. One of his brethren may redeem him. Either his uncle or his uncle's son may redeem him, or any that is nigh of kin unto him of his family may redeem him, or if he be able, he may redeem himself. And he shall reckon with him that bought him from the year that he was sold to him unto the year of Jubilee, and the prices of his sale shall be according unto the number of years, according to the time of an hired servant shall he be with him. If there be yet many years behind according unto him, he shall give again the price of his redemption out of the money that he was bought for. And if there remain but few years unto the year of Jubilee, then he shall come out with him according unto his years, shall he give him again the price of his redemption. And as of a yearly hired servant shall he be with him, and the other shall not rule with rigor over him in thy sight. And if he be not redeemed in these years, then he shall go out in the year of Jubilee, both he and his children with him. For unto me the children of Israel are servants. They are my servants, whom I brought forth out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. This is a long chapter, but I wanted to read all of it because there's a lot of information here. Verse 1 through 7, we find out that no farming is to be done in the year of release. Verses 8 and 10, we find out that every slave is to be set free and every man returns to his possession in the year of Jubilee. And every slave is set free in the year of release as well. We see in other places. Verses 11 through 13, we find again that no farming is to be done. It restates it. And that every man returns to his possession in the year of Jubilee. And then verses 14 through 16, we have instructions for selling your land and how it returns in the Jubilee. Because you were not allowed to do anything more than what we'd actually call a lease today. If it was 14 years to the Jubilee, you sold it a 14-year price. If it was 40 years, of course, the price was a lot greater. And then the idea of redemption. Let's say I bought a piece of land from Doug 40 years before the next Jubilee. 10 years later, so now there's only 30 years. Some family of Doug comes by and says, "Oh, wait, this is our family land. I'm going to bring this back into our family." If he offered me, let's take those 40 years. I paid the 40-year price. Now there's 30 years left. You divide that price up equally between the 30 and the 40 years. According to the Jewish law, if he offered me that price for those 30 years that were left, I could not keep it. The law said I had to sell it. That's what that redemption was. So that's what the idea of redemption is. When that price is offered, it is no longer mine. But if nobody had enough money to redeem it for how many years were left, of course, as it came down, the price would decrease every year until the year of Jubilee when it went out for free. And that's where it's saying a house that was sold inside a walled city, you would sell it. If the person who had it kept it for a year, it was then theirs. The possessions didn't stay with the family inside a walled city unless you were a Levite. A Levite, if he sold his land, could redeem it any time. It didn't matter how long he had sold it, or what? Because they didn't have a tract of land that was their own. All their land was the little chunks they had inside of the other tribes. So they could redeem any piece of land. But every Jubilee, everything went back to the original owners. There was not a standing loan in the nation of Israel on that year. Everything went to zero. Every 49 years. That is the year of Jubilee. There is no greater picture of forgiveness. Absolute, complete. Starting over with a clean slate. And then Christ stands up and says, today is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. But anyway, in Leviticus 27:18, we have, but if he sanctify his field after the Jubilee, then the priest shall reckon unto him the money according to the years that remain, even unto the year of Jubilee, and it shall be abated from thy estimation. And if he that sanctified the field will in any wise redeem it, then he shall add the fifth part of the money of thy estimation unto it, and it shall be assured to him. And if he will not redeem the field, or if he have sold the field to another man, it shall not be redeemed any more. But the field, when it goeth out in the Jubilee, shall be holy unto the Lord as a field devoted, and the possession thereof shall be the priest's. And if a man sanctify unto the Lord a field which he hath bought, which is not of the fields of his possession, then the priest shall reckon unto him the worth of thy estimation, even unto the year of the Jubilee. And he shall give thine estimation in that day as a holy thing unto the Lord. In the year of the Jubilee, the field shall return unto him of whom it was bought, even to him to whom the possession of the land did belong. So here we have instructions. If a man take a field and dedicate it to the priests, then if he comes back and decides he wants to redeem it, he has to add a fifth price to it, a fifth of the price. And I'll be honest, I don't completely understand all these instructions in here. But it was something of that nature. It says in verse 20, and if he will not redeem the field, or if he have sold the field to another man, it shall not be redeemed anymore. But the field, when it goeth out in the Jubilee, shall be holy unto the Lord as a field devoted. The possession thereof shall be the priest's. Anyway, I missed a few things I wanted to go over in Leviticus 25. I'm sorry. In verses 17 through 22, there was just a few promises. And then verses 23 through 34, some more instructions on redeeming the land. Of course, before the Jubilee, and it goes out for free in the Jubilee. Verses 35 to 38, just some basic instructions on usury. 39 through 46, we have, in the year of Jubilee, a slave goes out free with his family, which seems a little contrary to what the year of release was. In the year of release, his family only went out with him if he came in with them. And then verses 47 through 55, it ends. This is the part that I want to make a point on again. Some instructions on redeeming family from slavery. If a family member of yours was sold into slavery, it was the same law. You could go, and according to how many years there were left unto the year of Jubilee, you would pay that price. And the laws of the land were written, that man had to be sold. The slave owner could not negotiate. There was no increase the price. There was nothing. You offered the price. Bam. It was a done deal. The price of redemption. Then in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, this is where I want to just kind of paint a little picture about all this. Jesus says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Of course, he's quoting from Isaiah. And here Jesus takes every Jubilee. He'd taken the triumphant story of every slave that was set free throughout the whole nation of Israel. And he takes and he sets himself as the apex of it all. And he says, today is this fulfilled in your ears. This was the year that every slave was set free. This is the year that every debt was canceled. This is the year that every possession of land goes back to the original owner. This is the year of Jubilee. Let us shout. Let us sing. How could we feel down when the slaves are going free? I just recently read a story in the 1830s, I believe it was, when the British Empire proclaimed the emancipation of every slave. There was a certain area in which all the slaves gathered themselves together into a church building until they were standing around and waiting. And at midnight, they rang the bell. At midnight, their slavery was over. They were forever free, dancing and singing in the streets. And now stop, think about it. Here they are, every slave is going free forever. No more to be a slave. Can you even imagine one of those slaves going home depressed about anything? Being discouraged? Can you imagine that? And yet we have Christians on every side living down and depressed and discouraged lives because of these little things. And they don't stop and remember the Jubilee. And they don't remember Christ as our Jubilee. How can the redeemed be depressed? How can they mope about life as if they were still slaves? How can the redeemed keep from singing the songs of Zion? The year of Jubilee started when Christ rose from the dead, and from then till now has been the greatest of every year of Jubilee. And there was another story, and this story I looked for because I wanted to read it again. And I know what book it's in, and I looked for it for hours and I could not find it. And I think I even told this story here once before. But again, the same time, when the emancipation of all slaves through the British Empire came about, there was a certain ship that was carrying the news to a certain people somewhere, and I don't know all the details. And they weren't sure which way the law had been passed. And they were waiting. Hundreds, if not thousands, of people were waiting on the shores, waiting for this ship that was going to bring them the news which way the law had been passed. Before the ship even reached docks, a man on the ship hollers out, "Free!" And they on the shore hear the words, and they holler to the fellow man, they turn and say, "Free!" Before the ship had a time to dock, the whole countryside knew that they were free. And here the voice has come to us. We hear the gospel message, "Free!" And we turn and sometimes whisper and say, "Free," and it ends. Why? How? Is it that we feel so much more emotions about a physical slave being set free than we do about the gospel? Is this not a problem in us? Oh, who will raise their voice to shout the news to every soul on earth that Christ has risen from the dead? He paid the ransom price with his death, and he lives again. If he could raise himself from the dead, how much more power does he have to set every captive free? To save every soul from every bondage there is, from the bondage of sin and the bondage of hell and the fear of death. Imagine the spring there would be in your step if you had once been a slave and now are set free. The joy you would have about life, being in a free world, if you had spent years in prison and now were a free man. Why, I ask, why do you not see yourself that way? Is that not what you are? Is that not the way it is? Can you not have that same spring in your step because of what Christ has done for your soul? That's my challenge this morning. Christ is our jubilee. Every slave set free, every prisoner that has ever been pardoned, throughout the history of the whole world, is a picture of what Christ has done for us. Every debt that's ever been forgiven is a picture of what Christ has done. We are a redeemed people. Christ paid that redemption price for us. We are set free. Let us shout the news to every land, highest hills and deepest caves. And for now, let's dismiss.